from Billy Preston Radio, Bill Sutton and Jim Chesko.
It's Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable brought to you by the Irish Rover Station House in Langhorne, PA, and Allstate Insurance in Westchester, PA. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. Hey, Chet, the Flyers have now been shut down by COVID. The Sixers keep first place pace. Pitchers and catchers will be reporting to Clearwater shortly with an uncertain Grapefruit League schedule. But big news this week is the very hot rumors about the Eagles trading Carson Wentz. Oh, yeah. In case you missed it, Chet, that Tom Brady's pretty good winning his seventh Super Bowl.
Hey, it was quite a week, Bill. I know you'll be going through a little hockey withdrawal this week. Three Flyers games scrapped. The Sixers opened up a four-game West Coast trip last night with a W in Sacramento. I stayed up late and watched it. I'm guessing you did not. The Super Bowl was pretty much a dud, but you at least did correctly predict that Tom would win that seventh ring. I got that wrong. My wallet took a little bit of a hit, but we don't need to talk about that. And to make matters worse, Bill, you kind of mentioned this before we went on the air. Those of us here in Jersey and Pennsylvania got more snow on Sunday, might get a little more tonight and a little more this weekend. I'm over it, Bill.
Well, I can not to rub it in, Chet, but I am in the air conditioning and actually I am in shorts and actually I have no shoes and socks on tonight. So usually I at least have shoes and socks on, but no, it's the air conditioning is on. I just had to actually turn it up a little bit because I was a little chilly. So,
well, thanks for wearing the shorts at least, just in case you stand up.
And it was funny. We'll get to this because we're going to talk Super Bowl with our guest tonight, a first-time guest with a familiar last name to our viewers. David Dininger will be joining us in just a second, Chet. But I wanted to say to you, and I'm going to ask David about this because I thought he might actually be at the boat parade they had in Tampa tonight, today. And it looked like a lot of fun. I wonder if Tom Brady ever thought he would be in a Super Bowl victory parade in shorts and a T-shirt and sloshed, by the way.
I saw the video. He looks like Tom had a little bit of the tequila. That's right. Let's get our guest on.
Let's welcome NFL Films David Dininger to Philly Press Box Radio. David, welcome.
How you guys doing?
Doing
great. Hey, David. All right. We are so glad to finally be able to do this with you. Bill and I have talked about having you on with us since actually a few weeks after Super Bowl 52. And, you know, better late than never. We're going to talk about that night, of course, which Eagles fans will never forget. We'll do that in a bit. But first, David, you've covered, I guess, 20 plus Super Bowls now, including this past Sunday's where Tom Brady won a seventh ring. Not a great game, but what was your experience down there in Tampa this time around?
It was different. It was something I wasn't used to over the last year or so because everything is open in Florida. And it was eye-opening. I could tell you that, walking by some places and thinking, I'm not going in there. I got you know, cross-eyed looks that I was wearing a mask. And for a part of it, it was very refreshing to be able to walk down the street without a mask on when there's nobody around. It was a little bit normal, so that was nice. But the game, you know, our assignments are different every time we do something. So the assignment we have players mic'd up. So I basically follow one player from the time he comes out for warmups till the time he walks off under confetti.
Who'd you get this time?
This year I had Travis Kelce.
Nice.
Very good. Well, I have to ask you, let's jump back to the Eagles for just a second and that Super Bowl. And we know that you had Nick Foles. Man, what a great thing that turned out being. But we also know that you grew up an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Right? You grew up in Philadelphia, an Eagles fan. Spent a lot of time with your dad down at the stadiums and all that. How hard was it to do your job and not want to jump up and down and cheer and find your dad and give him a hug?
It's actually pretty easy. You get into the game a little bit, but, I asked him about that. I said, you know, when I start doing this, when I started shooting games and I got to do Eagles games, you know, a couple times a year, you know, we go wherever the NFL assigns us to go. So when I did get an Eagles game, I basically would say, how do you turn it off? Like, how are you not a fan? So listening to him when I was growing up, how everything in a press box is very quiet and professional, you do learn how to turn it off. And that game was difficult to turn it off. But I did. And having the Nick Foles wire that game was the highlight of my NFL Films career by a mile. But I was able to be a fan when he left the field for the post-game MVP press conference, and he was gone. I was able to turn off my camera and be a fan when I started crying.
Yeah, we're going to show a little bit of that later on. But first of all, since Bill mentioned that you were wired with Nick Foles, I got to see this one more time. We haven't had a whole lot to cheer about in Philly over the last couple of years. So you've seen this probably 400 times, but I'll tell you, I never get tired of watching it. So
me neither.
Here we go. One more time.
And the Eagles will keep the offense out there in a fourth and goal from the one.
You want Philly, Philly?
Yeah, let's do it. Hold on. Here we go.
I would feel better at this point taking the 3 points. I think it's a risk.
Here we go.
And if you make it, it's great. But if you don't make it, it's a big momentum swing.
Philly special. Ready? Here we go. Tonight! Easy! Kill! Lane!
Goes directly to Clement reverses it. And it is a touchdown by Nick Foles!
Let's go!
That was unbelievable.
Hey, Foles, why were you so open?
I sold it. I did some acting. I had a wide nine. I was like, ooh.
I love that.
Now, the last shot was actually mine, the one where he's sitting on the bench. The ground shots, I think, was a guy named Howard Neef Jr.
Okay.
Whose dad, Howard Neef Sr., was a legend, one of the original tight on the spiral guys at NFL Films.
I love Foles' reaction. That was great.
Did you know, David, as this play unfolded, you know, did you say, man, I am sitting on gold here. This is one that's going to go down forever.
I knew it was going to get a lot of play, but I never knew it was going to come out with its own name. And that's what made the shots at NFL Films so special, is when you are part of the immaculate reception or the catch or the holy roller or the drive. When in the post-game press conference, when the coach says, oh yeah, we call that Philly special, there's the name of the play. So it was pretty cool to be one of the two camera guys and audio guys that were on that wire that day. It was something special.
Very good. All right. So let's get back to the Super Bowl this week. You know, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I guess we like him or we don't. But we saw something special. You've been covering these Super Bowls for years and years. Do you have a favorite player? Is Tom Brady – are you a fan of Tom Brady, or is it just work? What's your favorite Super Bowl?
Other than the Nick Foles Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what was my favorite one. I would say – probably the Patriots-Falcons Super Bowl, because it was such a great comeback. And that night I had Dan Quinn mic'd up. That's who my assignment was. Mm. So I'm listening to the coach thinking at halftime, like, said to my sound man, I said, we got the winning coach. Like, there's no way they're going to lose this game. And they never changed. He never told anybody to stop throwing the ball and run the ball. That was a memorable game.
Yeah, it sure was. Hey, going back to the Eagles game and the aftermath, what's going on in this picture, David, right here?
That was just kind of letting loose at the end of the game. It was we dropped our equipment off already downstairs in our storage room to be shipped back to Mount Laurel, and we were able to get on the field. And I thought, I got to get a picture of Lane and confetti. Oh, yeah. I have my credential and confetti in a picture frame over in my entertainment center. So that'll stay there forever.
Yeah, that's a keeper.
That is a keeper.
Well, hey, David, as you were growing up, you were a football player, I guess, over there at Cherry Hill East a little bit, played a lot of ice hockey. I mean, I guess your dad obviously, you know, was around sports the whole time. Did he push you into sports, or he kind of just let you play and have a good time? And you ended up, I guess, at NFL Films doing the starting in the shipping department, right? Start at the bottom, no freebies.
Started in the mailroom. Was able to have weekends off, obviously working in the mailroom, had the weekends off. So getting to know everybody in the building made it easy to transition into different departments. Once you got to know somebody, I remember being in the shipping department and, you know, delivering all the credentials that would get shipped in from teams and delivering all the film that got shipped in from Kodak to the camera department, getting to know the people in the departments, walking in the field operations and saying, hey, I'm the guy in shipping. Here's the credentials this week. And by the way, do you need a helper? And that's how it all started. It was, you know, running film between the film loader and the cameraman in Baltimore and Washington and New York and Philly and New England and Pittsburgh. It's a dream come true when you actually start out at where I did and to end up where we are.
Well, before that, though, David, a little birdie told me you could have been a great chef. You ended up in something completely different. How did you go from culinary school to thinking maybe the chef thing isn't for me to becoming a cameraman?
Well, I had a day off at the restaurant I was working. I graduated from culinary school, had the day off from the restaurant I was working in. My dad called me up and said, hey, we're doing a shoot at Temple tomorrow. Do you want to head up? And I said, yeah, I'll go. So I went up and met a couple of the guys, and one of the guys, Craig McEwen, said to me, oh, you're the cook, right? I said, yeah, I had the day off today. So my dad invited me up. He goes, oh, that's cool. He says, I'm leaving the shipping department to go into the camera department full time. Do you want my job? And I went, yeah, sure. I'll take it. So he says, okay, here, call this number, tomorrow and talk to Lee Fiorentino. She's the one that runs the mailroom and the shipping and receiving. And I went in, talked to Lee, and the rest is history. I went in and gave my 2 weeks notice.
Nice.
Wow. Wow. Good story.
But hey. My mom and dad never pushed me into any sport. I mean, the first sport I started playing was hockey when I was five. That's when I started playing hockey, and I still play to this day. I played baseball in Cherry Hill, where I grew up. You know, played football when I got to Cherry Hill East and played with a couple of first round draft picks and a rookie of the year. I mean, I played football and baseball with Todd Hollinsworth, who's now a broadcaster with the Miami Marlins. And I played on the same line with Darryl Sittler's son, Ryan, Ryan Sittler, when Mr. Sittler was playing with the Flyers for that year.
Wow.
Cool.
Good stuff. Hey, I also heard from that that little birdie, David, that your mom was an Eagles cheerleader. True?
Yeah, true. I never knew that. Never knew that.
1979 to 1984, 85. I think she was the only cheerleader in the NFL with a 12-year-old son.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah. So it was great. I watched many a game from the tunnel where the visiting team came out at the vet. You know, my dad would keep an eye on me from the press box, and you know, my mom was on the sideline, and they would just tell the security guard, hey, can you just watch him? And there was no credentials back then. And so as a 12-year-old standing on the sidelines, it was a cool way to grow up on Sundays.
Well, Bill and I are going to talk about it later, the whole Carson Wentz mess. What's your take on it? How did this go so wrong over the last year and a half? They gave him the contract extension, and then they go and draft Jalen Hurts, and now all of a sudden Wentz is looking to get out of town. How did this go so bad so quickly?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't get involved in player personnel. That's my dad and the WIP guys can dig into that. I don't know. It just seemed like once he got hurt last year, there wasn't something quite right with him. And I kind of think he was living in the shadow of Nick Foles. Mm-hmm. And then just when he thinks he's coming out of the shadow, okay, Nick Foles is gone. And here you go in the second round, they draft Jalen Hurts, and he's thinking, well, why are they doing this? And I kind of thought the same thing. I'm sitting there looking at there was a center that the Bills took, and there was another receiver. I think it was Denzel Mims was still there. And there was the linebacker that's with the Bills that had a really good year. There was a defensive back that's now with the Carolina Panthers that was there. So to take a quarterback, I kind of didn't understand that. But that's why Howie gets paid the big money, and I just shoot the games.
And Howie's taking a lot of heat right now, too.
Oh, yeah.
He is. That's, I mean, he, sure. Everything hit in 2017. So sometimes they hit, sometimes they don't. The Wentz contract, think about it. It was actually a pretty good deal for what other quarterbacks were getting. I think they probably got a semi discount on what they would have paid for him a year later. So,
yeah. Well, hey, David, we always kid your dad when we have him on because he's one of our, maybe our most regular guest, right, Chet, still?
16 times, yeah. He and Kevin Riley, 16 times each, yeah.
16 times.
And Kevin Riley's a good guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And great. We always make a big deal with him about being a Hall of Famer because it is a big deal, and he's such a modest guy about the whole thing. But what was it like when you won an Emmy?
Oh, well,
the Philly special. Now, you're going to be modest, too. Let's hear it.
That's got nothing to do with anything I did. I mean, believe me, it's an entire department, camera department at NFL Films that wins those awards. Nobody wins those awards individually, I think. I mean, you never get into something. NFL Films is like a team. It really is. And you never get into a team sport to win an individual award. So I never looked at an Emmy as, look what I won. It's a, look what I got. Look what Hank got. Look what, Jim Barry got. Look what Steve Andrich got. All the guys that are there. It's a team effort. And it's unbelievable the work that these guys do. I mean, the guys that are on the ground shooting those tight, slow motion, beautiful spirals, and the guys in the music that put it all together, the editors, the producers, our sound men on the sideline. It is one big team, and you win those awards as a team.
Hey, Chet, he's a chip off the old block. Sounds just like your dad, who didn't take one drop of credit either for being in the
Hall. No, he'll never take credit.
Yeah.
He's very humble.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, as Bill said, he's been with us 16 times over these past 6 years. We don't understand why he always says yes to us, but we certainly do appreciate it. And, David, I'm sure you've heard about it from people countless times over the past 3 years, but the meeting that you had with your dad after the Super Bowl, an hour or so later during the postgame show, and before I get your response, let's just show it again because I still get teary-eyed watching it every single time. So here it is.
There it is, a long time coming. Woo! David Dittinger, who is a who shoots for, there we go. that's a beautiful thing. A beautiful, beautiful thing. Oh, my goodness.
It was just, it's everybody that didn't have a chance to see this. I mean, my grandparents, my mom's parents, my Uncle Kevin. I mean, everybody that said this wasn't possible. And I've waited 44 years, and I swear I thought I'd never see this day.
Yeah,
and
but you did.
I'm a diehard Eagles fan, diehard Flyers fan, diehard Phillies fan, and Philadelphia, just enjoy this, because I don't know when it's going to happen again, but boy, this is sure fun tonight.
To be able to share this with my son is, it's beyond special.
Wow.
Yeah, it was, that all came about. I said to him, I said, if they win, I'm going to find you, because we tried to find each other, after the Phillies won the World Series in 08, he was in the stands as a fan, and I was working the game in the Phillies dugout. So when all the national and local media lined up in front of the dugout, my camera became useless. And I looked up in the stands because I knew he was semi behind me. He was in one of the three sections behind me, and I couldn't find him. But I said, if they win this game, I will find you. And it was not supposed to take place on camera. That was Michael Barkan's idea.
But good idea, though.
I thank Michael to this day. I think what you saw there is something that happened in every home in Northeast Philadelphia, every home in Mount Laurel, every home in Wilmington, Delaware, every home in Coatesville. It was just a father and a son that were, that they were just happy that this finally happened.
for sure.
Awesome. Well, so you just caught me off guard because I didn't know you did the 2008 Phillies, because what I was going to ask you about is I know you shoot Flyers and Sixers and do some other things for NBC Sports Philadelphia. So,
right.
So what all do you have going on? Tell us more.
We do all the Phillies, all the Flyers, all the Sixers games for NBC Sports Philadelphia. And then during the football season on weekends, travel and work with NFL Films. Once the Flyers get knocked out of the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, sometimes we'll go, me and a couple of the guys will go away for NBC National and do conference finals or Stanley Cup for NBC. And that's a lot of fun. It's a pretty busy schedule and lucky to do what I do.
Now, I can't believe this. I think your dad was telling a fib, but he said you work another job beyond all this.
Well, for now. I work at UPS in the morning because it's very difficult to get healthcare as a freelance camera operator. So I went to UPS, I guess it was 8 years ago before I started getting all of these games, basically to get healthcare for my wife and my two daughters, who are now a junior at Camden Catholic. And my other daughter is a sophomore at Gwynn and Mercy University. I wake up early in the morning and head over to Philly Airport, get in my little van and do my 8 stops through Montgomery County. And that's where I get my health care from. But that's going to end, I think, pretty soon.
Good for you.
got a little surprise going on, huh? Good for you.
We'll see.
Good for you. Good. So let's take that one step further. So you work 6 to whatever in the morning, and then you hustle to a stadium near you and then get to bed at midnight-ish and do it again?
I always thought nobody slept less than my dad. and then there was me.
Hey, your dad is known as the king of low tech. You're not like that, are you?
Not as bad as him.
You have a cell phone.
I do have a cell phone. I have a laptop. The guy's an original.
Yes, he is.
It doesn't get any more old school than him, and it's awesome. I love it. I think it's great. I think it's great when people call me and go, "Can you get a hold of your dad?" I go, "Well, how am I going to get a hold of him? You can't get a hold
of him." That's true.
Got to get him on the landline, right?
That's right. That's right.
So, hey, David, you speak to classes and you do a lot of stuff at Rowan and at Temple. Talking to those guys, did you ever think that that'd be part of what David Dittinger ended up doing as he grew up?
No, it was Neil Hartman is director of, I guess it's like media television at Rowan.
Yeah.
And he brings me in to speak to his class. I actually did it yesterday. He likes to do it like right after the Super Bowl when I get back. And then Rob Ellis at Temple teaches a class. It's kind of the same class at Temple. And I'm doing his class in late March. That's a lot of fun. That is a lot of fun.
Good stuff.
Well, speaking of fun, David, with first-time guests, we like to finish up with a little thing called that we call Fast Five, where I'll hit you with 5 questions about random stuff and give us a brief answer about each, okay?
Let's do it.
All right. Other than Super Bowl 52 and the whole Philly thing and the Dan Quinn memory, give us another favorite memory of the many Super Bowls that you covered. I hear the dogs.
The dogs. I don't know. Somebody must have dropped a treat. I think the dogs are fighting. Okay, I need that question again.
Another Super Bowl memory from the many that you've covered, because I'm sure you have some great ones.
I'm trying to think. I definitely would say the Super Bowl 51. That was one. The Brady comeback. I would think my first Super Bowl I ever shot was the Eagles Patriots in Jacksonville. I worked 6 Super Bowls before that. Definitely my first Super Bowl I've ever went to, and then the first one that I shot in Super Bowl 39.
We mentioned that you like all the other Philly teams as well. Are the Flyers or Sixers closer to winning a championship?
That's a good question. I mean, hockey's so different. I mean, if you get a hot goalie,
yeah,
they could ride hard through to the finals. You never know. I mean, how many seven seeds, you know, have won the Stanley Cup over the last few years? The Sixers are one of those teams where, you know, Joel Embiid is a bad landing away from you know, hurting his back or hurting his knee. And yep. Simmons is a spin move and kick out to the three-point line from hurting his knee. If you looked at it right now, you would say the Sixers, but I don't know. It's hard to say because I think Brooklyn is going to be a tough team to beat when they get down to it.
Number three, we mentioned that you went to culinary school and can cook. Did you have a signature dish, and do you still cook much today?
No, my wife is a fantastic cook.
He's not home to cook yet.
I started dinner tonight. I put the chicken in the roaster today. But I like doing it. I liked Italian. That was my favorite style was Italian.
Speaking of food, I love food. Tuesday was National Pizza Day. What's your go-to pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Me as well.
Pepperoni.
Love the pepperoni. Number five, your dad and Glenn Mack now wrote a fantastic book about sports movies. What are two or three of your all-time favorite sports flicks?
Ooh, there's a lot of them. Bull sure. Durham is a great one. Hoosiers is a great one. The Natural is a great one. North Dallas 40. Slapshot, obviously. Varsity. I mean, this is going to sound dumb, but you know, I like Varsity Blues. I like Youngblood. You can name The Program. The Program. I mean, any kind of goofy '90s, you know, sports movie. I was kind of into.
There you go.
Hey,
all right,
hey, David. I have one final question for you, not to do with Fast Five, but as you said, the boat parade today in Tampa for the Buccaneers.
There.
You weren't there.
I was not there.
But take us back a couple years ago. Did you go to the parade in Philly? Did you work it? Or
no,
have a good time?
We had a Flyers game that night. And when the parade started, we had to park our cars. Instead of parking in Wells Fargo, they had it closed off. We had to park at Citizens Bank Park. So we were able to gather about a half hour early. And we were there when the parade left the link. We were right there against the railing when Jason Kelce was riding the bicycle around with his mummer's outfit on. The parade went, all the double-decker buses went past us, and you know, we walked right into the Wells Fargo Center and did the Flyers game that night.
Wow. Hey, I have a technical question. Speaking of shooting Flyers games, how many camera guys, when it's just on NBC Sports Philly, how many cameramen do they have, and what is your assignment? Do you like follow the puck? Are you told to follow a specific, you know, line, or like how does that work?
I do the reverse super slow-mo camera, which is the reverse angle. So there's four robotic cameras. Then there's a slash camera, two handhelds, a game camera, a tight camera, a high end zone camera, and me in reverse. So wow. I would say there's probably 10 or 11 camera guys that work. All great. I mean, I couldn't ask for the crew at NBC Sports Philadelphia. We're all friends. We all have a great time together. So you do spend a lot of time away from home, but if you have to spend time away from home, they're a good bunch of guys to spend the time with.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, hey, David, I tell you what, this is a lot of fun, and we're glad we got to have you on finally. We wanted to do it a couple of years ago. We just weren't able to make it happen.
Anytime.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time, especially in your busy schedule.
No problem. Anytime you guys need me, you let me know. It'll be good to get on with my dad together.
Oh, now you're talking.
Deal.
It could be his 17th time on.
There you go.
All right.
We got a date.
Hey,
thanks, David.
Appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Chet, let's talk insurance. If you're looking for insurance in the tri-state area, we've got the spot for you. Allstate Insurance in Westchester, PA.
You got that right, Bill. One of the best benefits of having an Allstate insurance policy is getting a local agent like Dave Lavoie, who is dedicated to you. Building that personal relationship means you can work with someone who knows you and understands your family's needs. Someone you can call when you have questions or need help. Dave is dedicated to protecting what is most important to you and your family. Give Dave a call. He's at Allstate in Westchester, Pennsylvania. That number is 610-430-0700. Again, 610-430-0700.
Hey, everybody, it's Willie Nile here, and you're listening to Chet and Bill on Philly Press Box Radio. You lucky people.
Hey, Chet, I have to tell you, you've been doing off the sports thing for just a second. You've been doing your little daily music thing.
Yeah, and, covers
on Facebook. And today you did Willie Nile. And I was actually playing the song. And my wife says, "Who's that?" I said, "Oh, Willie Nile." He says, "He's pretty good."
Said, he is awesome.
He's been on our show, and we have a little thing he does for us, a little introduction, and we have a lot of fun with that. So good stuff.
As a matter of fact, he's doing a concert tonight at 8 o'clock. I don't think it's live. I think it's already recorded, but it's going to be available for $20, which may sound like a lot for a non live in person show, but Willie is great, and he and Johnny Paisano and the other guys in his band put on a great show. So it's going to be available tonight at 8 o'clock and for the next week. And I may fork over the $20 and watch it, because I did that once before when he did this about a year and a half ago, or I guess about a year ago, right after the pandemic hit. And it was great, and I'm sure this one's going to be great also. Love Willie.
Cool stuff. Hey, David was great, Chet. I really didn't know what to expect. I knew there was going to be a lot of stories, and he had a lot of stuff. That was a really good interview, and he was really good.
Yeah, and I just loved showing the Philly special again, and then the moment with him and his dad, because that just meant so much to not only them, but to everybody who was in a similar situation with their own families.
Yeah, cool stuff. And he offered him and his dad up, so we're going to make that happen.
Yes, we are.
All right. Well, hey, Super Bowl week, a lot of rumors floating around about the Eagles trading Carson Wentz, Chet. Any of those rumors I saw would be ridiculous moves for the Eagles. Although I think the way this thing is going down through the media and through the national media, Wentz is done here. I don't see how they're going to be able to bring him back if they want to, which is probably driving the price down. They're not going to get all these number one picks for him, and he's going to be a good player for somebody.
I think so, too. Pretty much everything to do with the Eagles right now is a mess. Look, I'm not trying to pay too much attention to any of the rumored deals, potential deals in terms of, Wentz to the Bears or Wentz to the Colts, or is there a third or fourth mystery team involved? Who knows? I'm just going to wait and see what happens. You hear everybody say, oh, it's going to happen in the next day or two. It's going to happen sometime this week. It may not, because everybody knows the Eagles are trying to move him. They know they have to move him before March 19th, because that's when he'd be due yet another $10 million or whatever in a salary bonus. They're not going to let this go past March 19th. So it's just bizarre. They decide they want to keep Wentz, and they fire Doug Peterson. But Wentz is reportedly pissed off at the benching, and he's not real happy with Howie Roseman. Reports say that he won't even return Howie's calls to him. So this is just one dysfunctional bunch of people, and I don't know what's going to happen, but it's likely not going to be good.
Yeah, and I tell you, the players, the former players that came out and said over the week, and I don't know this for a fact, but there was an interview right after the comments came out about it wasn't Wentz and it wasn't Doug, that the problem is still there. Obviously, was pointing towards Howie Roseman.
Oh yeah,
and I certainly don't know this for a fact, but an interview with Malcolm Jenkins came out right after that came out. So I got a pretty good feeling that could have been the source there. I think we all know this, or we feel this, but when players come out, former players come out and start saying it, it sheds a whole lot of different light.
Yeah, and I kind of feel bad for Wentz. I mean, it may be true that he wasn't the best guy in the locker room. We don't know that. That's hearsay as far as we know. But I feel bad for him in that he never really had the weapons that he could have used the last couple of years. And his numbers in 2018 and 19 were actually not bad at all. He passed for 4,000 yards in 2019. Granted, he was awful this past year, but the O-line was a mess. They lost, three-fifths of it to injury. They kept moving guys around, different O-line every week, or 14 out of the 16 weeks that they played. So who knows? In the meantime, Bill, anybody want to buy a Carson Wentz plush doll? It's barely used.
Well, I tell you what, Chet, I do a lot in the memorabilia world, and people are bailing on Wentz.
Oh, yeah.
You can buy stuff probably at half the price. He was a pretty expensive guy. You can probably buy it at about half the price right now. People are giving up on him, and that he's going to be gone from here one way or the other. it's interesting too, because we know, you know, we watch the games. We know that Jalen Hurts really wasn't any better.
No,
you know, the only thing that made Hurts any better was he ran the ball a little bit with his legs, where Wentz wasn't able to do that or didn't do that. So, and you were going down the list of stuff there. You failed to mention wide receivers and the fact that they don't have any.
Oh, yeah, they don't have any. And, I mean, in 2019, when Wentz did have a pretty good year, 4,000 yards, nobody had over 500 yards among the receivers. Right. So I really hope he does succeed wherever he goes. A part of me wishes that it somehow didn't happen, the trade, and that he ended up staying in Philly and got the job back and went on to great things under the new coach. But I know that's probably unlikely at this point.
Yeah, well, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I asked you this. Why do Philly fans pick out guys and just try to crucify them? And that's, you know, it's almost like he's unwanted here by the fan base and by the media. I mean, why would he want to come back here?
He wouldn't at this point, and that's why he's probably not saying anything and not returning Howie's call, because he has that attitude, well, if I can't say anything nice, I'm not going to say anything at all. So he's just staying out of the spotlight and waiting and praying for something to happen.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then the media is taking that one step further and saying, hey, you know, where's this guy at? He should be talking. Well, no, he shouldn't be talking. He don't know anybody any talk of anything, like you say, because he's liable to say something they shouldn't say. So just let it be. It's, you know, just come to work whenever they tell you to come to work and get after it.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't drag on until March 19th. I hope if he's going to be traded that it happens soon so we can move on. And by the way, I don't want Nick Foles back. There's that talk that if he goes to Chicago, that Foles comes back as a backup. No, no, please don't.
No, well, that just creates the same controversy, you know, or maybe even worse, because they're going to want him to come back and be the starter. And now Jalen Hurts is in a jam, you know, he's in a bad situation, and you don't, and the fans and the media will have Nick Foles looking over Jalen Hurts' shoulder every minute and not give that kid a chance to be successful.
Yeah, don't go down that path, please.
No, that'd be foolish. That's what I say. Any trades that I saw were they would be foolish to make from what I was taking out of it.
Hey, how about those Flyers, Bill?
How about the Flyers? A big win on Sunday in Washington, and now they're shut down due to COVID for 3 games at least this week. They're scheduled to play Sunday night against the Rangers at 6 o'clock. If that's going to actually happen or not, we'll see. They were playing pretty good hockey. You know, they're hanging around in there, but what, that's 5 NHL teams now that are shut down.
Other than when they play Boston, they've looked great. They looked really good on Sunday and putting up 7 goals in the win over the Capitals. Sean Couturier back in action, Phil Myers back. And I had a hunch they would have beaten Washington again Tuesday evening had they played. Now, as you said, they won't play again until Sunday night as it stands right now. Travis Sanheim was put on the COVID protocol ahead of the game against the Caps. And then apparently Claude Giroux and Justin Braun were added to the list yesterday. So we knew this was a potential issue, the whole COVID thing. It's happened, as you said, with several teams now. I think at least 34 games have been wiped out due to COVID issues so far, and it's only been, what, 6 weeks that the season started. So it's an issue, and we hope that, you know, it doesn't wipe out too many more games and it doesn't destroy the season.
Well, you know, I find it interesting because this whole COVID thing is, as David was saying, now that I'm down here, everybody walks around and does their stuff. You do wear your masks inside the buildings, but that's really it. But I find it interesting that you play the Capitals on Sunday and you're supposed to play them on Tuesday. On Monday, you all have, or Monday or Tuesday morning, you all have COVID. What about the Capitals? I mean, they're continuing their schedule. We breathed on each other for 2.5 hours on Sunday, but they're okay. The whole thing is just kind of crazy to me.
It is, and I don't understand it. I can't explain it. But one other hockey note, how about Ron Hextall going to Pittsburgh to be the Penguins general manager? That's interesting.
Yeah, and you know what, Chet? I hate that it's the Penguins, but it's good for Ron Hextall.
Right.
He certainly deserves another job. Because this team that we're seeing is Ron Hextall's team. This Flyer group. Hey, one other hockey note for me, too. Did you see late today where in New York with the Islanders, they They have said they're going to start opening venues in New York. Interestingly enough, on the 23rd, I believe it is, 10% of the crowd, which isn't much, 1,500 and something, I believe. But, Chet, you have to get a test within 72 hours of going to the event. Who's paying for that? And if if you're a ticket, if you're a season ticket holder or whatever, you say, well, I'm going to go to a game every week. You got to go get a test every week.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just hoping that this is all over at some point this summer, because I can't take it. And yeah, I'm not going to go get a test every week or two to go to a concert, because I would be seeing more concerts than games. So I just hope it's over sometime soon.
Ring the bell.
Oh, I'm just ringing it once, because, you know, I made my wife watch some of our compilation of the random Jets. She said, stop with the bell. It's annoying. So maybe she's right.
Well, let's do it. It's random chat time. You could have more. You could have another ring. Ring it again.
There you go.
What do you have for us this week?
Well, Bill, hopefully you're aware of this fact that this weekend brings Valentine's Day. So Sunday is indeed Valentine's Day, and it got me thinking about another list. Last week it was great TV sitcom themes. This week, with Valentine's Day fast approaching, it's favorite romantic comedies, movie rom-coms. So since Valentine's Day is the 14th, I decided to go with 14 of my very favorite rom-coms in no particular order. The oldest one on my list is the highest grossing movie released in 1967, The Graduate, starring a young Dustin Hoffman, plus the beautiful Catherine Ross and Anne Bancroft. Loved it. I chose one from the following decade, and I know it may not be politically correct these days to endorse a film by Woody Allen, but 1977's Annie Hall remains one of my all-time favorite movies. Very funny, and I just loved it. The late 1980s then brought us three great ones. The classic Moonstruck, starring Cher, and I'll put a picture of that up there. Yeah, Moonstruck, plus Say Anything, starring John Cusack, and then Rob Reiner's very funny When Harry Met Sally. The 1990s gave us a slew of terrific rom-coms, like 1980s or 1990s Pretty Woman. I love that one. Pretty Woman and 1999's Notting Hill. I'm losing my pictures here. Julia Roberts starred in both of those. But in between, we got, well, the underrated film, The American President. That was one of my wife's favorites, and it is still one of my favorites as well. Plus the wonderful Four Weddings and a Funeral, and a movie that Glenn Macnow says is the best ever rom-com. That would be Groundhog Day. So a couple of good ones right there. Picture things going crazy. John Cusack has a second great one on my list, 2000's High Fidelity, which also included an awesome soundtrack, and then three others from the early 2000s. And we'll finish up with these. We have the hilarious My Big Fat Greek Wedding, a movie that I mentioned previously as being one of my favorite Christmas films. That would be Love Actually. And a very funny movie starring Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, whose character has a strange case of amnesia, 50 First Dates. So there you go, Bill. 14 great romantic comedies. Your assignment, go watch them all before Sunday.
I was going to say, I've probably seen two of those, maybe.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yeah. Who watches that stuff?
Well, a lot of those in the 80s and 90s, you know, I was a single man and dating before my first marriage in the mid 80s. And then my second marriage wasn't till mid 90s, 95. So yeah, like the early 90s, I saw a lot of films with dates.
I got you. Okay. I was probably doing something else.
I know. All right.
Let's give a shout out to our partners at the Edge of Philly Sports Network and their shows. You can check out the Broad Street Bully podcast, Drew, Jeff, and Doyle talking Flyers hockey. Bird's IQ every Monday night, 7 p.m., live with Kyle and Eric Quint talking all things Eagles. Then Edge of Philly Sports Live, Joe, Freddie, and Big Al, Wednesday nights, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can watch it live on Facebook. They cover 4 for 4 and so much more, Philly sports. Join Tom Kelly and the gang at Patterson Avenue Fanatics, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. They, too, talking all things Philly sports. You can check out all the shows at www.eopsports.com. Help us out by hitting those subscribe, follow, and like buttons. And as always, share with your family and friends. And don't forget to sign up for the weekly newsletter that comes out on Friday. And Chet, you and I get a little bit of time in that.
I got to be honest, I haven't been able to find the last couple. So I don't know where Al is sending them, but I'm not seeing them in either of my main accounts. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to spam and I'm not seeing them, but I got to talk to Al about that because I got to see what he's saying about us.
I get it every Friday.
I searched for it over the weekend and I didn't see it, but I'll take care of that.
All right. Sounds good. Well, hey, Chet, great guest tonight at David Dininger. So who do we have coming to Philly Press Box Radio next week?
Well, Bill, joining us next week to perhaps talk about some more definitive news on the Carson Wentz front and other Eagles matters will be a guy we had on last September. It was his first visit with us at that time. He enjoyed it. We loved having him, and we'll look forward to a return visit from him. That's the Delaware County Times' Bob Groats. Plus, we have a second guest next week. Bill is our old pal who is with Edge of Philly Sports these days and a frequent visitor to our show as well. And that would, of course, be our buddy, Freddie Burns. And I can't find Fred's picture, but I was going to put Fred's picture up. But we know what Fred looks like.
Fred
is celebrating a birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old he is, but he's definitely younger than us, Bill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, good. Looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. Hey, Chet, Sixers still in first place by 1.5 games after last night's game against the Kings.
There's Fred.
There you go, Fred. A 119-111 win behind Joel Embiid's 25.17 rebounds, 6 assists. That might get him another game or two off.
You know, you better stop picking on him. Let me tell you this. When the Sixers have their starting five that they had for the opening game of the season and last night, they are 14-0. 14-0, Bill. So, yeah, the key is to keep the big guy healthy, as David mentioned. Keep Simmons in the lineup, even if it's only, you know, scoring 10 or 12 or 14 points. Keep him in the lineup with Simmons. And even, you know, Danny Green, who is only scoring 9 or 10 points a game, when he's in the lineup, they seem to win. So Tobias Harris had another good game. I think he had 22 points last night. Doc Rivers is making a difference. The Sixers are up, I think, a game and a half in the East. Some people, the critics will say, well, they still haven't played anybody other than the Lakers, because whenever they play one of the great teams, Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or somebody else is out of the lineup. Hey, you play who's in front of you. I mean, some of these other teams who beat the Sixers when Embiid wasn't there, they're not going to say, we're not going to count it. Embiid wasn't in the lineup. You play every game to win. You win a lot of them, hopefully, and you count up the W's at the end, and hopefully you're high in the standings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You've got to play the games. But, hey, Chet, that makes me think of something else I saw today, speaking of the Sixers. I saw where there's some discussion starting to take place about MVP, even though it's a little early in the season. And the two names that were thrown out there was LeBron James and Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of talk for Embiid. I mean, look at the numbers.
Shouldn't you have to play all your games?
No, you don't have to play all your games. It's a 72-game schedule. Embiid has missed 5, okay? If he plays 53 out of 72 and the Sixers go 48-5 when he's in the lineup, he's pretty valuable.
So what if LeBron plays 70 out of 72? Because he comes to work pretty much every night.
He's also not 7 feet and 300 pounds, and it's tougher on the big guys to stay healthy. It really is.
What's LeBron, a 5'8 point guard? Come on, man.
I'm not saying that, but you just love to pick on Joel.
Well, until he mans up and plays every night, he's going to
hear. He had 25 points and 17 rebounds last night. Well, when he's in the lineup, he plays hard.
Let's see if he plays the next game.
He hits the ground a lot. He's taking a beating. He's doing what he can. And if he's going to take a night off every 3 weeks, I'm okay with it.
Well, a beating took place in Tampa on Sunday, Chet. The Super Bowl, Tampa Bay dominated the Chiefs in Super Bowl 55. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I got all of the final three games right, and you got them all wrong.
You are correct, sir.
Don't bet against Tom Brady.
Yeah, I had no shot in that one. I bet on the Chiefs -3.5. I also bet on both quarterbacks throwing for 300-plus yards. I lost a couple of dollars, not too much, thank goodness. Not a great game.
Well, I'm going to tell you, it was not a great game. But as an old ball coach, Jet, to watch a team and get Tom Brady out of the conversation, but to watch a team manhandle another team at that level on both sides of the line of scrimmage, to me, was fun to watch. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a good game. But just the fact that one team was so much better than the other team up front, and that's where the game was won. And, you know, a lot of people saying, well, the defense was the MVP. Well, yeah, they were. They were, but there wasn't probably one individual because they were all good. And, of course, Brady being Brady and probably as much for the what he brings to the building, as they kept saying, it makes him as valuable as anything else. But to me, it was actually fun to watch because I like watching them big people, and man, Tampa was good.
And Todd Bowles did a terrific job with that defense. I know Kansas City was beaten down on the offensive line. I guess two or three of their starters were out, including the two tackles. So that made it tough. And boy, what a difference that makes too. Cause look at Patrick Mahomes. He had the worst game of his young career. Probably he's running around like crazy. I don't know how he got out of some of the messes that he did. He got some passes off and his receivers dropped a couple of balls that they should have had, including one that would have been a touchdown. So I mean, Mahomes tried, but when you got a line that's just not doing its job because they're, you know, undermanned or backups or whatever, it makes it tough on the quarterback. And I bet you Carson Wentz is saying right now, see, look, it's not just me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the thing about it is his player, he had a great scheme and his players played it well. They rushed the quarterback. They didn't have to do a whole ton of blitzing because they were beating them with just their front four guys. They did a great job on Tyreek Hill. They let Kelsey get some of his yards, but Kelsey wasn't going to win the game for him. So great job by Todd Bowles. And, you know, I don't think anybody expected it to turn out quite the way it did, but good win.
I'm looking at some of the comments on the movie stuff. People are saying they love Danny Hall. I love Moonstruck. Loved When Harry Met Sally. Come on, Bill. You saw those three, right?
And Bob Sullivan said, I've seen one of those and I'm with him. I was probably with them for the one. That was it.
You're pathetic, Furman.
Oh, you're kidding me. Hey, if you want to talk offensive line football, I can talk about that. Movies, it's just not my stuff.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, one other thing. You know who got another ring? Shady McCoy. Shady McCoy got a ring the last 2 years, didn't play a snap in either Super Bowl, and now he's retiring.
Yes, he's retiring. And you know what, Chad? I saw a list of stuff, and I meant to print it out because I was going to bring that up to you. Shady McCoy's got a Hall of Fame career. He's got two Super Bowls. He's the Eagles' all-time leading rusher.
Yeah.
He's got a whole pile of awards, Pro Bowls.
A lot of yards.
He's got a Hall of Fame career. Kind of crazy.
Yeah. I mean, some people will hold it against him, maybe, that he wasn't a great guy all of the time and a horrible tipper, from what we understand. But
we'll see. All right. Hey, Chet, the Phillies trucks left for Clearwater Monday. Spring training is on schedule. Pitchers and catchers 1 week from today. Major League Baseball says plan on 162 games. But we still don't know if there's fans or not. And it looks like a reduced spring training schedule is getting put together where they're going to play a lot more inner squad games than they are traveling. So, and they're looking at trying to do regional type games, which is kind of hard to do down here. But you do have some East Coast teams and you do have some West Coast teams. And where I am here in Lakeland, we're in the middle.
Yeah. And then you got, you know, the Phillies in Clearwater right next to where, I guess, Toronto plays in Dunedin, right?
Right. And the Yankees are in Tampa. And,
yeah.
You know,
not
you
far.
Go down the coast, but you've got a whole pile of them over there in Jupiter and West Palm Beach. Apparently, there's not going to be a whole lot of traveling, and they're going to minimize the overnight and all that, and they're going to replace those games with inter-squad games. So, again, how's it going to be how's it going to work out with the fans? Still up in the air.
We will wait and see. But, you know, it's about that time. The trucks went down there and players are going to be reporting real, real soon. And before you know it, they will be playing games with or without a lot of fans. And Didi Gregorius is back. They introduced him again today. David Dombrowski and Joe Girardi and Sam Fold were on a little Zoom call with reporters, and they didn't say Odubel will not be back. They said we're looking at some things, and it sounded like that's a possibility. So they still have to figure out who the center fielder is, whether it's going to be Hazley or Odubel or whomever. But otherwise, that lineup looks pretty set. Kingery will not be the starter, I don't think, either in center or at second base, because they're going to go with Segura and Didi and Alec Bohm, of course, at third. Hopefully Hoskins is back totally healthy. We'll see if that's the case. But they have a pretty set lineup other than center field.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen it in every sport. We're going to see it in baseball. There's going to be injuries, and you know, these guys are all going to get to play. Kingery will be getting plenty of ABs, I'm sure, as it go. And it all comes down to do they have enough pitching?
Always comes down to the pitching. They added yet another pitcher in the last couple of days, a guy who was pretty good with the Marlins, apparently. So we'll see. You can never have too much pitching. I heard that somewhere, Bill.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, Chet, it's a week from today. Pitchers and catchers, the sunshine is out. We're ready for them. And hopefully we have a good spring training.
Yes. And we will have no DH in the NL this year. So it's back to the way it was in 2018 and 19 and all the years before that. Let's move along, Bill.
All right. Let's take another quick break and thank our friends at the PPCC 118 Raz Room. They post great sports memorabilia on their Facebook page so people can take a chance of winning something they may not be able to afford or have access to. All items come with certificates of authenticity. Continue to run out great autographed memorabilia from all the Philly teams and more. They have 11 line rises, mystery boxes, and now a memorabilia shop. Check out their Facebook pages. Like them or follow them. It's PPCC 118 Raz Room and PPCC 118 Raz Room Shop on Facebook. Do you have a parting shot tonight, Mr. Chesko?
Well, you know, Bill,
blown by on us.
As you're probably aware, during the second half of the Bucs Super Bowl blowout win, a not quite naked streaker got on the field and made a mad dash of about 50 yards before being corralled. The television camera, of course, cut away from the goofball, but on radio, Westwood One's Kevin Harlan had some fun with it. And if I can find it, here is Kevin Harlan's radio call.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle of the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Dear God.
Good job, Kevin Harlan. And yeah, you know, Chet, the sheriff that made the tackle at the 1, he's been getting a lot of local press down here. He's a high school quarterback from Plant City High School, and he made the big tackle. So he's getting a lot of press down here.
I'm sure he is. That was pretty wild. Quick thing. Lenny Dykstra, 58 today. Goofball, but happy birthday, Lenny. Vince Papale turned 75. And Bill Berge, 76 yesterday. Yep. And Fred. Good old Fred.
Absolutely. And my son yesterday.
Ah, happy birthday.
Hey, I did. PJ made a comment, Chet, that I just had to throw up here. Hopefully Hoskins isn't pedestrian this year, right, Bill? Thanks, PJ, for reminding me. I'm rooting for Hoskins to be better than pedestrian because he hasn't done one thing since I called him pedestrian. So you haven't forgot. Hopefully it's a new year, PJ, and we're going all in for Hoskins to have a big year.
We're late. I'm hungry. Wrap it up, Bill.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Thanks to tonight's special guest, David Dittinger, our sponsors, Irish Rover Station House, Bob Sullivan's LikeYourAge.com, PPCC 118 Raz Room, and Dave LaVoie of Allstate Insurance in Westchester. For Jim Chesko, this is Bill Furman. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll join Philly Press Box Radio next Wednesday, February 17th at 7 p.m. You can see us live on Facebook, listen through our website, PhillyPressBoxRadio.com, on BlogTalkRadio.com/PhillyPressBoxRadio, and on all the Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and others. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.